Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Military Leaders of Today. In today's episode, this will be episode 3 in my Advanced Camp series, I will be discussing range, BMI, and marksmanship at CST to help you best prepare yourself and know what to expect when you go to camp for these events. I really hope you find this episode helpful. My purpose here really is to prepare you as best as I can based off of my experience at CST in the summer of 2022. So if you enjoy this episode, be sure to not only share it with any other cadets you may know, but be sure to leave a rating and or review so that this can really get in front of as many people as possible so that everyone is prepared. So with that, let's get into today's episode. Now, like I said, in this episode, I'm going to be looking at range, BMI, EST, your live fire, basically anything that has to do with marksmanship at CST. Now, if you haven't seen my high-level overview of Advanced Camp, definitely go check out that first episode. It would be really helpful for you to kind of understand everything in the grand scheme of things, as well as the order of that. So definitely go check that out and listen to that one if you haven't already. It provides a little bit of context for this episode. All right, so if you have watched that episode or listened to that episode rather, we're going to talk about the range. So at Advanced Camp, as I'm sure you all know, you must qualify on the M4. And for some of you, that's going to be a really daunting task. For me, that was definitely the most stressful part of Advanced Camp. I'm not a good shot. It took me forever to qualify in the spring before I went to Advanced Camp. And it is something I worried about a lot because for most programs, you really don't get that much hands-on time. You don't get that much range time where you're shooting live rounds with the M4. And I was certainly one of those. And I am not a good shot. So I was really, really concerned about the range and everything to do with it at Advanced Camp. But good news, I'm here to tell you, you have absolutely nothing to worry about. At camp, they kind of know that not everybody's going to have the same experiences and that not everybody is going to be an excellent shot. So they will teach you, they will help you, and it's kind of a relatively stress-free event. So I'm gonna kind of walk you through that. So for the range at CST, your range is really not just one day, it is really 5 days. So during those 5 days where you're working on marksmanship stuff, building up and preparing for the range, you're going to receive a lot of instruction from NCOs and officers that are a lot more experienced than your cadre might be. I know that was the case for me especially. And they're going to provide you some great instruction. So let's just walk through this from the beginning, right? So on day 9, at least for Advanced Camp 2022, on day 9, you're going to start your block of instruction, your 5-day block of instruction on marksmanship. And what that's going to look like is on day 9, you're going to get up in the morning early. You're going to have PMI and then drills. So for me, what we did is we met back at the pavilion right next to the track where we did the ACFT. So you're going to be under a pavilion. There's going to be turf. They set up stations. And at each of those stations, there's an NCO there who you will notice is EIB qualified. So they have their EIB, their expert infantryman badge, rather, just to break down that acronym. So they know what they're doing. They've qualified on weapon systems before, and most of them, if not all of them, are incredibly good shots. So these soldiers from the 10th Mountain Division will be there to instruct you, and it's really good instruction. So if I recall correctly, they broke us out in a few different stations. One of the stations was the different positions, so they had barriers there so you could practice your holds. They'd walk you through the holds, your stances, how you should hold the weapon, how you look down the sight, how you use the CCO, all of that kind of stuff. Then at another station, they ran you through kind of a mock qual without live rounds. So you were doing the qual, but you weren't actually pulling the trigger. And then another station, they were literally teaching you where you should aim on each target. So if you don't know, for the 300 meter targets and the 100 meter targets, the 300 and the 50 meter targets, you aim at the same place. For the 200s and 100s, it starts to get a little different. You got to aim a little bit lower just because the bullet has an arc. It arcs, right? So you got to aim a little bit differently depending on the distance. And these soldiers will walk you through all of that. They'll literally tell you where to aim, where to put your dot on the little target out on the pop-up range, and they'll have you practice that. So like I said, it's really, really good instruction. Definitely take advantage of it and make sure you're listening. I found that really helpful for me. That just really gave me a big confidence boost. It's like, okay, sure, this isn't that bad. These guys are showing me exactly how to do it. You know, I'm taking notes, I'm noting things. And really the trick, I think, and everybody has their tricks, their tips, whatever. Go into the range, just try to relax. Try to let it relax, just accept the fact that, hey, I'm not going to qualify on the first time. And you know what? That's perfectly fine. Just, it's not even worth worrying about because it's going to happen. You're going to qual and it's going to be all right. So after those PMI, that primary marksmanship instruction, you're going to start doing drills. I don't remember too much about the drills, to be completely honest, but I would imagine, if I recall correctly, we did like washer drills where you make sure that your trigger squeeze isn't too hard or too jerky, and you just kind of focus on the fundamentals. I'm sorry there. I don't remember too much from the drills. And that's really that first full day is just drills. Drills and PMI. And then you're doing CTO time the rest of the day. And usually your CTO time for these like technical events will focus on more instruction for those events just so that they can kind of mitigate and prevent a lot of people from failing right away. So that's your first day. Then your second day, that's when you're going to do your EST. So your EST is your electronic shooting simulator. So it's essentially, for lack of a better word, a very sophisticated video game. What EST looks like, for those that haven't done it, though I'm sure most of you have, you're going to go into a dark room. At the room or in the room, you're going to see a few dozen lanes set up, probably like 8 lanes set up. And at each of those lanes, there's going to be the barrier, just like you would at a normal range. And behind those barriers, there's going to be a weapon. There's going to be M4s. And those M4s are tethered. They have cables. They have a CCO like you normally would. You can dim it, adjust it, whatever you would do normally. And then they're going to have magazines. And the magazines are expensive, or at least I'm told. So if you don't want to tick off the person running the EST, don't drop the mags. Don't do stupid things with the magazines because they're expensive, reportedly. And then at the end of the target, like you normally would, you'd be looking down a range, and out at the range, you would see the green targets that would pop up. Instead of that, it's a giant screen, but it has targets that pop up. So it's essentially, for lack of a better word, a simulated version of the range. And most people will score pretty good on EST. You're going to do exactly what you would do at a range. You're going to do a group and a zero, and then you're going to do a qual, an actual qual, which is really nice. So you're going to run right through it. Chances are you're going to score really well on it, which is good. Definitely use that as a confidence booster. Like if you score a 30 on EST, like, and get pumped up about it, like definitely be excited about it. I know for me, that was a huge confidence booster because we sat around and I was super worried about EST because they're not gonna let you go on to the actual range before you do EST. So take the EST as a great opportunity to continue your practice. When I was there, I saw a lot of cadets kind of sitting around, just not really doing anything. But take advantage of that time. They'll let you go through EST as many times as you want. You're there the whole day, so you may as well just do it. EST too, it's indoors, which is nice. It's air conditioned. The building itself is a real big building. There's a big common area. But in that common area, which kind of looks like a drill floor or an open gymnasium, just so you can kind of visualize it, Off of that big room, there are at least four different EST rooms attached to it where people can go do EST. And then there's a hallway out toward the back, towards the Port-a-Johns, and then the Water Buffalo. But anyways, this same building houses the rollover trainers for vehicles. So like a lot of people in my group, they were really like standing around the Humvee like rollover simulator, you know. So definitely, I mean, don't do that. Take advantage of the time. Don't sit around and eat. Yeah, like there's not much you can really do. So just go do the EST is what I'm trying to say here in a lot of words. Just go do EST. Take the time to practice. It's also a good time too, because chances are you're going to have prior enlisted and prior service guys in your platoon or company. It's a great time to go talk to them about weapons, because chances are they're bored because they've done this stuff. They're good at this stuff. So go over and talk to them. Have them walk you through barriers and what works well for them. And, you know, just kind of get other people's opinions. I know I did that. I had a few different infantry prior enlisted guys in my platoon. We had a few Ranger tab guys in my company, which was super high speed. So they definitely knew what they were doing, and they definitely backed it up. They finished number one and two in the company respectively. But just use all the resources around you. And most of the time people like that are super happy to talk to you about weapons, because one, they're bored. Two, they know cadre's watching, and if they're teaching you, then that's going to look good on them. And then three, it's just, again, you know, they got the skills and they're happy to, most times, happy to share it. So take advantage of your peers as best as you can. They're resources there, and most of the times they're happy to help. So that's EST. You're going to do that pretty much the whole day. The schedule here kind of varies a little bit from company to company and regiment to regiment. After EST, that's when you're going to move on to the next phase of your marksmanship training. All right, so your next phase after EST, at least according to the schedule posted by Cadet Command, is to do your buddy team live fire drills. Now, buddy team live fire drills are exactly what they sound like. Basically, when you guys were learning IMTs, or your individual movement techniques, and you were yelling, "Battle buddy, cover me while I move," and then they'd yell, "I got you covered," and you moved behind cover and you leapfrogged all over the place. That's what a buddy team live fire is. Super dangerous, I think, especially with cadets. I'm kind of honestly glad we didn't do it. I'm sure there wouldn't have been any problems in my platoon or squad, but I can imagine it might have been a problem in others. And that's, again, where the schedule differs. We didn't end up doing a buddy team live fire, and I don't think any regiments at CST 22 did. Instead, what we did is a stress shoot. But we did our group and our zero before we did the stress shoot. So I'm just going to go off of my experiences. I'm telling you what the calendar says. Chances are it's not going to be a buddy team live fire for you when you go in summer of 23. So just keep that in mind. Now, like I said, after you do your EST, or at least after I did my EST, the next day, we went out to the range, the first range, the group and zero range, which is different from the pop-up target range. We went out to the range, and I was actually the PSG for this part of the of Garrison. So I got my PSG blue card for this day, which, let me tell you, this is a really good day to get it, because everybody's pretty much doing their own thing, and it's super, super easy. So it was a real, real easy E for me. But anyways, you go out to the range, you go out to your group in zero, and that's at like 25 meters. You're shooting at paper targets. There's three of them. Super low stress. You're in the prone. You shoot, five rounds each target three times to confirm your group and then get your zero. And it can be a little tedious. I know for me especially, I got up to the range and I tried to go first. So that's a good pro tip too. If you know you're a bad shot or a not so good shot, definitely go first when you can, because then it can kind of prevent you from being the last one on the range if you're worried about that. And I definitely was. So pro tip there. So I went first. I think I was in the first group. I went up, grouped and zeroed. Did not group and zero on the first try, which is fine. Not on the first iteration. They had me go through and go do remedial training. And that remedial was really good because what it turned out was that the cadre behind my lane, they were just not having me adjust my CCO rate, which is partially my fault and obviously partially theirs. But the specialist who is running the remedial training helped me out with that. We got my CCO to, you know, line up right. And I went back out and I went zeroed the second time, confirmed my zero, and I was good to go. So super low key, you know, and then I got to, you know, sit around and relax the rest of the day while I waited for the rest of my platoon to finish up shooting. I know there was someone in my platoon, actually in my squad, a cadre member there, an officer, of course. I mean, I can't imagine an enlisted person doing this, but an officer went to adjust his CCO. And instead of adjusting it correctly, the officer pulled out the entire screw on the CCO, which essentially broke it. And this cadet had to go with our first sergeant back to the arms room to get a new CCO. And then there was actually a few people that it happened to in my company. So just don't worry about that kind of stuff, right? Like if you know your weapon's, you know, malfunctioning or broken. We had a few people who had to go get new M4s for just random reasons, right? Like say something, you know, don't just try to keep, you know, doing the same thing, expecting a different result. So that's like totally fine. Our cadre were super chill about it. They were more mad at the arms room guys than they were at us. So definitely don't be afraid to speak up if you know something's wrong. But anyway, so that is the grouping in zero. Then the next day, I'll back up. Now when you're out here on the ranges, it's two different ranges. So the group in zero range is at one location. And then the confirmation pop-up target range is at a different range. So what you'll do, and my group did not have to do this because it was thundering and lightning overnight. But what you will do is those nights that you're out at the range, you're going to sleep out on the range. So it's really only be two nights at most, but that'll get you used to field time too. And then you go back into the barracks for a little bit. But anyways, now the next night or the next morning, rather, you're going to wake up. You've already grouped and zeroed. And what they're going to do is they're going to have you confirm your zero one last time to make sure you're good to go. And then what you're going to do is you're going to pick up your rucks because you'll have your rucks with you. You're going to ruck up and you're going to ruck. It's like less than a mile, but it's going to be like a fast ruck. Your cadre is going to make it a fast ruck because what happens next is you're going to do your stress shoot. Now your stress shoot is kind of what it sounds like, right? So the point of this is you're under stress. Your body's under stress. So you're going to shoot like absolute trash unless you get lucky or you're really good at controlling your breathing. I did see a few people who did pretty well, but everybody else did absolute garbage. So just go into it knowing that you're going to shoot like crap. So, yeah. So you pick up your rucks from the first range that you're on. You're going to ruck like less than a mile. There's one big hill, which kind of sucks because it's right before the range. And once you get up on the top of that hill, you can see the range. You're going to be able to hear the gunshots. Once you get up to that range, your cadre are going to be up at the top there, and they're going to be screaming and yelling at you. And this is the only time they'll scream and yell at you. But they're going to scream and yell at you like you're at basic training. They're going to be like yelling at you to dump your rucks, you know, get your rucks lined up, put your eye pro on, put your ear pro in, you know, grab your mags, make sure you got all your mags. And they're just going to be screaming and yelling at you. They're going to make you do push-ups. They're going to try to smoke you a little bit. And the purpose of this is to get your heart rate up because right after this, they're going to rush you right onto the firing line. So once you get onto that firing line, you're going to go through the qual. You're going to shoot like garbage, most likely. And that's going to be your stress shoot. Now, for me, if I remember correctly, I shot like absolute garbage. I shot like a 12, I think, 12 out of 40 targets. And there was one person in my company who actually lost their magazines during this whole ordeal. He got up to the range onto the firing line and he did not have any magazines, and Kadri yelled at him, and then he finally got some magazines. So don't lose your magazines is also a good tip. Like, seriously, when you're running, when you're doing that ruck, right before you pick up your rucks and go to this, like, remember this. Right after you pick up your rucks from the first range where nobody's screaming or yelling at you, right before you start the ruck, make sure you have your iPro handy, like on you, like either in your cargo pockets or in the case on your flick. Make sure you have your ear pro either hanging around your neck or tucked into one of your pockets or something. Have your gloves on so that you can get onto the range right away. Make sure you don't lose your magazines. Do not turn your CCO off. Do not put your CCO cover on. I saw a few people run up to the range and they still had their CCO covered on while they were firing rounds. So just be prepared to shoot. And then obviously when you're moving, do not lose your magazines. You're going to be issued 3 magazines. You're going to sign for them and everything while you're in garrison. If you lose magazines, it's obviously not the end of the world. I don't know if they actually build cadets for them, but don't lose your magazines. It'll just make your life easier. Especially your squad leader, because chances are if you lose your magazine, your squad leader is probably going to take a hit for it on their blue card, because their raider is going to be like, yo, why doesn't everyone in your squad have all their equipment? Did you not do a good job of checking everybody? When was the last time you checked everybody? So it's just going to probably be a bad day for your squad leader. So just keep track of all your stuff. And then that's the stress shoot. So after you're done with the stress shoot, you're going to get to sit down, relax a little bit, not too long though. And the best part about this whole thing is if you're like Alpha Bravo Company, you're going to get to watch Charlie and Delta come by and you're going to get to watch their cadre yell at them. So that's kind of funny to see because you obviously know what they're about to do. Then after you do that, you're going to go in and do your actual qual. So once you do your actual qual, that's going to be your 4 record qual. They kind of say your stress shoot is your practice, but it's like, okay, kind of. But you're going to do your actual qual. And before I get into the actual qual, again, like I said, this is you're going to do this on 2 different ranges. So your group in 0 is on 1 range. I think it's like Carby Hill range. And then you're going to do your qual on Pels range. Now, if you've seen the videos from Advanced Camp, Pell's range is a very interesting range. So there's like 16 some lanes, if I recall correctly, maybe more than that. But the first like 10 or so are super hilly. So you're the first 10, like the first lane especially, is really bad because you're like on a hill. And then it dips down into a valley, and then it pops up to a hill by the time you get to your 300-meter targets. So you really got to be conscious about where you're putting your rounds and make sure you're aiming correctly. So it's kind of a rough range, especially from what I was used to. I'm sure many of you are used to like flat ranges, which is what I'm used to at the range that we use for my ROTC events. So it's just really hilly, so just keep that in mind. You got to be conscious about where you're aiming and think more deliberately about where you're aiming. But yeah, so then you're going to go and do your qual. Now, if you want Recondo, I personally wasn't shooting for Recondo, but there was a lot of people that were, and this is usually the event that will knock you out of Recondo standing. So let me scroll down here 1 second and we'll see what Recondo standards are for the range. I don't want to misquote or give you the wrong advice. So here we go. So for the range, you have to qualify sharpshooter or higher, which if I remember correctly, that is a 27 out of 40, if I remember correctly. You can look up those standards too, but there's obviously a higher standard for Recondo. So keep that in mind. I know that knocked a lot of people off. And that's a first time go too. So you got to do that on the first go round. So if you're gutting for a condo, definitely keep that in mind. But for the rest of us who aren't shooting for a condo, and really for anybody actually, you're going to get six attempts to qualify. The first four are going to be on the pop-up targets, and then the last two are paper targets. Now, the paper targets are at 25 meters. It's super easy if you can't do paper targets. I think they said it was something like 99.7% of cadets passed the range last summer. So there's just a statistic for you there. So chances are you aren't going to have to use the paper targets. You're going to qualify. So just go in with that attitude, really, and just, you know, try not to worry too much. So what the qual looks like is I break you up into groups. Again, what I like to do is I know I'm a bad shot, and I know it's going to take me more than one time to qual. So I like to go first, or at least in the first group. So try to set yourself up for success in that regard. I think that's a great strategy. I know it's worked well for me. But I went first, or in the first group. I got on one of the further down ranges. So it was like, or no, my first range, I was down in one of the hillier parts of the range, which really threw me off a bit. I didn't end up qualifying, but I still shot like a 19, which was really good for me. Because like I was not doing that well at my spring range before camp. So I thought that was really good for me. But what happens if you don't qual is they will have you go through some remedial instruction. And I was dreading this. I was like, oh, goodness, great, more talking. Well, this remedial instruction, I think, was really, really beneficial. For me, the remedial instructor was a master sergeant who was actually a civilian marksmanship teacher as well. So he's got both the Army doctrine as well as the civilian knowledge. And he gave some really, really good tips for shooting that I still remember to this day. So I'm going to give you those right now. The big one that really stuck out to me, as you know, you shoot from the prone position. You're going to shoot from the prone prone supported, right? So you're going to shoot from the prone supported position. Now, oftentimes people will tell you not to rest a magazine on the ground, but the way he illustrated it to us is, which is stronger, a bipod or a tripod? Because your elbows are resting on the ground, but if you don't rest the magazine on the ground, you got to focus on holding that weapon up and pulling it into you as well, instead of just resting the magazine on the ground or the end of the magazine on the ground and shooting from a tripod, which is a much more stable position. And then for the kneeling supported, because I'm a taller person, he suggested that I put both my knees on the ground, which is an authorized firing position, and lean a lot harder into the barrier, which I think helped me tremendously. So really, really good stuff. He also talked about grip, like you're death gripping the weapon and you're pulling it into your shoulder pocket. So he said you can never grip it too hard enough. And I thought that was really good advice. And I really, really appreciated that, Master Sergeant. So after you do the remedial training, they'll put you up through the range again. And for me, I qualified on the second try. And I was really happy about that. Not only did I qualify, I didn't just shoot the minimum. I shot 24 out of the 40 the second time, which I was super pleased about and very happy about. So, yeah. And that's really, really the range. I know some common questions are, like, as far as the pop-up targets, what they're going to do is there's going to be cadets behind you, and those cadets are going to call out the targets for you. Now, obviously, this means your experiences can vary, right? Well, try to you know, strategize a little bit there. Maybe not strategize, but be conscious about who you have behind you. So like for me, on my second go around, I made sure to grab the loudest guy in my platoon. And I asked the cadre, I'm like, hey, can I bring this guy up here with me? He's going to call my targets. And they were super chill with it. They're like, yeah, sure. Bring, you know, he can call your targets out. I don't care. And this guy is loud, right? It's a range. Obviously, there's you know, a dozen or so people firing weapons, and it's really loud. And I could hear him every single time as he was calling out the targets, and they give you a list too. So definitely help your battle buddies out there if you can. That can be really beneficial for everybody. Also be conscious of the weather. For me, on the day of our confirmation, it was raining and it got really, really, really steamy and foggy. And for a while, we were actually huddled under one of the lightning protected areas. But they will still have you go to the range and shoot. So just be aware of that as well. And that's really all of the tips and advice and kind of the overview of what the range looks like at CST. So I hope you found that beneficial and that you learned something as well. If you did, like I said earlier in the episode, make sure you share it with your other cadets in your program. I want to help as many people as I can. And I think, you know, experience is the best teacher. Not that I'm super experienced or anything, but I can provide you a super detailed version of the range. I mean, I've been talking about a 5-day event for like probably close to a half hour by now. So I hope, again, you find this beneficial. If you did, share it with the other cadets in your program. I want to help out as many people as I can. Also, please be sure to leave a rating and or review on whichever platform you're listening on, because it increases the visibility of this podcast, and I appreciate your feedback as well. So with that, this has been another episode in my Advanced Camp series. Please stay tuned for the next episode in the series. It should be coming out here pretty shortly. Super excited to do this series for all of you, and I hope this has been beneficial for everyone. But until then, this has been Alex with Military Leaders of Today, and I will see you in the next one.